I guess, the dangers of the apostates to the church. We started this last week, and we're part two of this thought, dangers of apostates to the church. And last week, we started looking into how dangerous these apostates really are to a church. And again, by way of remembrance, refresher here, Jude wanted to write to these churches regarding a common salvation. And instead, he said, it was needful that I write unto you to warn you, to exhort you, to earnestly contend for the faith, because there are certain men crept in unawares. There are people among you who've crept in who are going to destroy you. And these are apostates. These are people who have access to truth but have turned from truth, fallen away from truth. And he reminds them of the judgment of God for those who don't walk in the way of the Lord and the will of the Lord in verses 5 through 7. Verse 8, he says, likewise, these people, these filthy dreamers, these apostates, they defile the flesh. They're rebellious people. They don't have it in their heart to love and to please God. They're in it for themselves. And ultimately, they're going to experience the judgment of God too. And then he gets to verse 11, and he starts to show what kind of character they have and elements about their life that would reveal who they are. And we finally come to verse 12, and he starts to get very specific. These people aren't going to be able to hide anymore. He's going to start naming names here and give very specific things about these people that identify who they really are, so that the church can be aware, so that they can be on guard, so that they can be watching. And so verse 12, he says, these apostates are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. And Jude is talking about these apostates as being spots. That word, we looked at it last week, it means a rocks or a reef that lies just below the surface. And the picture that we drew, or that Jude is drawing for us, is of a ship, you know, traveling on the seas, that it looks like it's calm water, it looks like it's smooth sailing, but there are these rocks that are just below the surface, that if the ship runs into it, it's either going to hinder its progress or it's going to even sink that ship. We need to be on guard and watching. And he's talking about how these apostates destroy the growth and the unity of a church. When he's saying here, there's spots in your feasts of charity, he's talking about the unity of that church as it's growing and as it's building and starting to produce in the work of the Lord and the love for the brethren and is showing itself and manifesting itself. These hypocrites, these spots, these rocks, these apostates destroy that growth and that unity. And apostates can and will destroy the integrity of a church. And so Jude's warning is for these people to be aware, to be watchful. We also began to look at four different examples that Jude gives. And each one of those, we said, was some element in the apostate's life that can be evidence of what these people really are, identifies them. And first of all, he calls them hypocrites in verse 12. He says that they are clouds without water, hypocrites. They have the appearance of something that is refreshing and something that is a genuine blessing, but ultimately it has no substance. And then he talks about how these people are not only hypocrites, but they're also very shallow. There's no spiritual depth or maturity to them. They're carried about with winds, he says. They have truth. They have access to truth, but they don't live it, and they don't apply it in their life because it's not really in their heart to do so. And they're hypocrites that can destroy the integrity of a church by acting like they care for the work of God, but instead, they really couldn't care less at all. They're only in it for themselves. And they smile, and they go along, and they cooperate, and they laugh, and they try to appear friendly, you know, to gain favor, but not for the purpose of maintaining a strong church. That's not the purpose of it. It's for themselves. And they would act like they're a part of the church. They would pretend, you know, to want unity and fellowship. They would pretend to want to see God's work accomplished. But ultimately, time would show them to be just pretenders, great pretenders. And so that's where we left off. And now we're in verse 12 here, still. And we find another description of these apostates. Not only are they hypocrites, but we find here in verse 12 that they actually produce no real fruit. And so here's another description. They're hypocrites. They're clouds that are without water. And he says here in verse 12, let's read it together here, or read it with me. He says, I'll start at the beginning. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds there without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And here again, another description of these apostates. They produce no real fruit. And this is the only one we're actually going to consider today. Next week, Lord willing, we'll consider the next two. But for the sake of time, this is what we'll look at this afternoon for just a few minutes, all right? Let's pray and we'll begin. Father, we ask that you'd give us understanding of your word again and teach us, and Father, build us in the faith and build us in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, strengthen our church. Father, strengthen our maturity. Grow us in you. And Father, I pray that you'd give us discerning hearts and minds and discerning eyes. And Father, that each one would be in their own heart, in their own mind, striving, Father, to grow and to please you and to love you. Father, striving to edify, to build, and Father, to love the brethren. And Father, in doing so, we bring glory to the Lord. Father, we ask that you bless our few moments now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we find that these are trees, these apostates, these pretenders, these fakes, they're trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. That may seem confusing by just reading the words. And so we got to define these terms again. Remember, each of these are an element in the life of an apostate that reveals and identifies who they really are, what's really in their heart, and helps God's people to be discerning themselves. So we need to define these terms here. He says, first of all, they have fruit that withereth. These are trees whose fruit withereth. That's a Greek word that means to wane. And it carries the idea or the picture of late fall, you know, when the leaves start shedding off of a tree. It's a tree who's waning. It's a tree whose life is, you know, is starting to leave it. And the leaves, and it's evidenced by the fact that the leaves are starting to fall. They're starting to be shed. Okay? And so this is one description about these apostates. Then he says, not only are they trees whose fruit withereth, they are without fruit. It's a different word that he's using here. And this word means, it means simply barren. It means no fruit. And here's the kicker. It means can't produce. This is a definer and a description here. Its leaves are falling. It's waning. It's without fruit. It's barren, and it can't produce fruit. That's a clear definer of what he's talking about here. And we'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But then he says that they're twice dead. And that's a Greek word that means to lie dying. And it means it's not as like a tree, it goes into a dormant state in the wintertime, you know? But when spring comes back around, life begins to be produced in it again, right? It's not that kind. That's not what he's saying. It's twice dead. It's lying. It lies there dying. It means what he's saying is it gets worse and worse until there's total death. So when he's saying the fruit withereth, it's waning, the leaves are shedding, it's without fruit, I mean, it can't produce fruit, it's barren, it's lying there dying, not as in dormant where life is going to come back to it, but getting worse and worse till total death. And then the last description, he says, plucked up by the roots. This is a Greek word that means to uproot. And it pictures, listen, it pictures a point of no return. It pictures no recovering. That's what he's saying. So it's plucked up by the roots. There's no recovering. And it carries with it the idea and the picture of not sticking around. Wow, this is very descriptive. And so understand here what he's saying. All right? Anything that, any appearance of life that the tree had is starting to wane. It's starting to shed. It's falling off. A tree with leaves has the appearance of life to it, right? But it's late fall. It's autumn. The leaves are shedding. They're waning. It's without fruit. It cannot produce fruit. It's lying there dying, not dormant to where life is going to come back again, but getting worse and worse till it's total death, and it's plucked up by the roots, meaning there's a point of no return. There's no recovering. It's not going to stick around. So you see, are you following the description? These apostates, then, are likened to a tree that has some leaves on it, so it looks like it has life, but those leaves are soon to be falling off, like in the fall. It has had promise to bear fruit, but it's actually barren because it can't produce fruit. Now, it's fading away more and more into total death, and soon will be uprooted and it won't be around anymore. I've had a little experience, like practical life experience, with this thought of a tree. We planted some bushes in the front of our house a couple of years ago, and we planted a whole lot of other plants and flowers there too, which most of them, all of them, pretty much did really well. They keep coming back, you know, every year. But these bushes, there's two bushes that when I planted them, you know, they looked really hardy. They looked really good. And even that first season, they had all kinds of green leaves on them and so on. But last year, there was a little bit of life there that seemed like okay, you know, like there might be some hope for them. And I watered them, and I babied them, and I cared for them. I even fed them, and I was constant to do it to try to help them along, like they might be able to recover. But as the season went on, it just got worse and worse and worse, where these other plants are flourishing. These other plants are growing and blooming and producing life and producing color. One's right next to them, but not these two bushes. And I worked with them and worked with them and worked with them until finally at the end of the season is they were done. They're dead. Like no recovery dead. And so this next year, I got to root them up. I got to pull them out of the ground because they're not good for anything anymore. And that's exactly the kind of picture that Jude is painting here of these apostates. For a while, they look pretty good. You know, there's a season of promise. Then they're not doing so good the next season around. And you work with it, and you water it, and you feed it, and you hope for some recovery. But things just sort of kind of keep getting worse until it's totally dead. And it has to be uprooted because it's not good for anything anymore. Apostates show some kind of promise of life. Because, and it makes sense, because Jude said they're with you, they're part of you. They've crept in unawares, they have an appearance, right? They wouldn't even be a part of the church if they were just clearly off the deep end. They wouldn't even be a part of the body, they wouldn't fool anyone. So they have to have some appearance of life. But their fruit, whatever they do, has no honor in it for the Lord. It's rotten. It's worthless because it's ultimately for self and not for the Lord. And it cannot last. It cannot be maintained. They stick it out for a while, even for quite a while, showing some promise. But in the end, they wither and they die because they're barren only to be uprooted. Are you following the picture that Jude is painting here? Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look in verse 12. Paul says to Timothy, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Evil men get worse and worse. They don't get better. Go with me over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Here the context is the things of the world and the things that are temporal, the things that pass away. But those who do the will of God abide forever. And then he says, there are those who went out from us because they weren't of us. If they had been of us, they would have abided. They would have stayed. They would have been around. They would have continued. But they went out from us that it might be made known that they weren't of us. And it's the same connection as these apostates. These apostates who have the appearance of life, if they truly had life, they would be flourishing, they would be promising, they would be producing something, and they would stick around. But those who are apostates, anything that they do, it's fading away, it's withering, it's getting worse and worse. It's lying there dying, not as in dormant and there's going to be some life again, but worse and worse till total death, to be uprooted and not going to stick around. They went out from us because they were not of us. You see the connection? And how do you tell? By what's being produced in their life. Real fruit. Real fruit is not just manufactured and processed. Real fruit is something that God produces, and it's lasting and it's abiding. This 1 John 2 text gives the implication that these people weren't even saved. They went out from us because they were not of us. Look in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We see in Matthew 15 and verse 13, "But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted, shall be rooted up." What's the implication? Every plant that the heavenly Father has planted is going to abide. But every one that the heavenly Father has not planted, it's going to be rooted up. In the context here, verse 14, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Here Jesus is condemning the Pharisees for their heart attitude. And he talks about them directly when he says, "Every plant that my heavenly Father hath not planted, it's going to be rooted up." Jesus is saying the Pharisees aren't even saved. So we have to ask this question, all right? If they are trees that are barren, and anything that, you know, looks like the apostates produce is waning and falling off and getting worse and worse, and what then the question that needs to be asked is, what is real and lasting fruit then? All right? I mean, because they appeared to be a part of the church. They appeared to be producing, they appeared to have some life, even to the point of fooling other people, because they could blend right in. So what then is real and lasting fruit. Well, turn with me to John. The book of John. I want you to look with me in chapter 15. John chapter 15. In verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. By the way, that is the same word, or at least a part of the same word that's used in Jude about who, the tree whose fruit withereth. It's the same part of the word that's being used right here that Jesus says. He says, if in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. All right? So what is it that brings glory to the Father? That ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And the Father, or as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So we read in this passage here, and we ask the question, what is real and lasting fruit? What is it that's genuine? What is it that shows that there's fruit being produced in the life? Well, verse 11 shows us what real fruit is. Verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. All right, so the commandment of Christ is to love one another. If we are obedient to the command, it produces joy, and that joy abides in the life. And so what we find here is that obedience to Christ, love for the brethren, is what is real, genuine fruit in the life of a child of God. Real obedience to Christ, loving the brethren, is fruit that produces remaining or lasting joy in the life of a true believer. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. All right? So we find that abiding in Christ produces a whole lot of this kind of fruit bearing. Meaning that those who abide in Christ, it produces genuine love for the brethren and a desire for obedience to the commands of Christ. Those that don't abide in Christ and that don't produce good fruit, verse 6 says, are withered and cast out. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Remember how Jude said these apostates are spots in your feast of charity, right? They're rocks that are dangerous. But what was the feast of charity? It's talking about the unity of the church, the love for the brethren. That's what it was talking about. And here in our John text, what is it that is real genuine fruit or evidence? It's obedience to Christ. What is the command of Christ? To love the brethren, which produces unity in the body. And what we're finding here from these passages of Scripture is that a desire for obedience and true, genuine love for the brethren is what constitutes real fruit in the life of a child of God that comes by abiding in Christ. Those that don't are withered and cast out. They're branches that are burned. How is it that we can tell? How do we know? I mean, these apostates were part of the church. They were mixed in. How do we have a discerning eye? How do we know? Look with me in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 15 and following. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." In other words, here's how you tell. How do you know if one has genuine fruit? How do you know if one is if one is truly a believer and one is all that they say? Well, Jesus says, by their fruits. A good tree can't bring forth evil fruit. What it produces is the evidence of what it is. An evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. So, what's in their life and what has a person's life ultimately produced when you really examine it? What is the general course and the general character and the general production of a person's life? That's who they really are. Is it real love for the brethren? Is it real joy in the soul that is evidenced on the outside? Hey, what's really on the inside comes out. It can't be manufactured and it can't be faked, at least not for very long. It's not going to last. It's not going to abide. Is it real joy in the soul? Is it real love for the brethren? When you examine it, is there evidence that this person really, truly has a desire to love and obey God? What their life produces is what they really are. You know what the apostates produce? Go back over to Jude. Jude, and look at verse 16. Here's what the apostates produce. Verse 16 says, "These apostates are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." What is it that the apostates produce? Oh, they're murmurers. They're grumblers. They're complainers. They've got something to say about something all the time. Something they don't like. They've got a bad attitude. They have people fooled for a time only because of some advantage, Jude says. But it all eventually shows itself through who they really are. It won't be maintained. These are trees whose fruit withereth. They're barren. They can't produce fruit. They're going to get worse and worse. Pretty soon they're going to be uprooted. They're not going to be around anymore because of what they are. All they produce is murmuring. All they produce is complaining. All they really produce is a bad attitude. There's not real joy in the soul and in the heart. there's not real genuine love for the brethren. And it's fruit of what they really are. Next week, we're going to consider these last two. Go to verse 12 there. Or verse 13, excuse me. So verse 12 says they're trees that cannot bear fruit. Verse 13 says they're raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. He says they're raging waves and they're wandering stars. What do waves produce? Well, waves produce a whole lot of noise. Waves produce a whole lot of current and commotion. But when the wave is gone, what's left? Some foam. You know, you've been on the beach, right? The waves come crashing in and the waves go out, and what's left there? Just some foam. Not a whole lot of substance. Wandering stars, like a shooting star. Is it stable? Can you count on it to be there? No. It's unpredictable. It's a wandering star. It has no stability to it. And those who use the stars as a map, for a compass, you know, it's a landmark. It gives navigation, helps them to get in the right place. You can't count on a shooting star. If you were to follow the shooting star, it leads you astray. They're unstable. All of these are characteristics of an apostate. And we'll consider these last two next week. But one of the ways to determine an apostate from a disciple of Christ is this. What is their life producing? What's it really producing? That is a way to determine an apostate from a disciple. Are they producing real fruit? I mean, is the joy of the Lord seen in their life? Is there a desire to see people become disciples of Jesus Christ? Are they producing just some foam? Are they making some noise and a lot of current, but what's left behind is just contention? Are they producing real fire? Is their life producing the light of the Word of God? Are they dependable? Are they stable? By their fruit, ye shall know them. But the final application as we close, yes, by their fruit ye shall know them, but by your fruit others shall know you. Don't forget that. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you again would encourage us with these truths. They're powerful when you get right down to it and we get very specific with these truths, things start to become a little bit more clear. Father, I pray that you'd give us a discerning heart and mind, and Father, that you'd continue to grow us and build us in the faith. Father, even help us to examine our own hearts. What is my life producing? That people would know who I am by what's being produced in my life. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be students of the Word of God. For the honor and glory of our Lord, for it's in His name we pray. Amen.